You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 492 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland. It is Friday evening in the aftermath of what was a pretty ugly game, honestly, by the Atlanta Hawks. A final score of 129-108, a loss in Boston against the Celtics. To be at least somewhat fair, Boston entered this game as the league's hottest team. They've won 7 in a row. They've now won 8 in a row. They played very well on the whole. With that said, the Hawks definitely allowed them to play that well in a lot of ways. So we'll dive in here. Not a ton of extra stuff for this game other than the fact that Jeremy Lin came back after a two-game absence. Nice to see him play and play well. We'll talk about him a little bit later on the podcast, but no other real news, and it's a Friday night into Saturday, probably just going to focus on the game, and honestly, most of the fourth quarter was garbage time, so not too much going on outside of what actually transpired between the lines in this one. So we'll start at the top here. I will say, as a bit of background, the Hawks entered this game with the NBA's worst net rating in the first quarter. They were being outscored by 17.6 points per 100 possessions for the season in the first quarter, and that number almost certainly got worse here as they were bludgeoned in the first quarter by the Celtics to the tune of a 42-19 margin. Actually, the first bucket of the game was a Kevin Huerter three, which set the stage in a lot of ways for a good night from him offensively, but other than that, there wasn't too much going on well in the first quarter. It was a 13-3 run from the Celtics to open the game that prompted a timeout from Pierce. It kept getting worse from there. It was 23-5 by the time the onslaught sort of settled down a little bit. Boston made their first 9 shots of the game, and that was kind of that. I mean, there was, obviously, we'll talk about the run the Hawks made in the second quarter, but that was definitely an ugly way to start the game for Atlanta. There was actually a brief 8-0 run from the Hawks in the first quarter. That was the only really positive thing from that 12-minute period to cut the lead back to 10, but quickly it was back to 17, and then a 9-0 run to close the quarter from the Celtics to go up by 23. A 159 offensive rating for Boston in the first quarter. They shot 76% from the floor and 6 of 8 from 3 in the opening period. The Hawks committed 9 turnovers that led to 20 points, and that was a big theme throughout the game. We'll come back to that stat later on in the podcast, but it was really ugly in a lot of ways. The 9 turnovers were the biggest part of the problem, but there were a lot of problems for Atlanta on both ends of the floor. They did make 4 threes, including 2 from Huerter in the first quarter, but aside from that, not too much going on there. I will say, the first time these two teams met, Boston scored 45 points in Atlanta during Thanksgiving week, and then the Hawks rallied, and that actually happened a little bit here, as we'll talk about. They didn't quite get to 45 here, but the Hawks did come back in the second quarter, which they should be commended for. You know, Lloyd Pierce after the game, I was checking that on the Fox Sports broadcast, and Pierce did laud his team for coming back in the second quarter after being punched in the mouth in the first quarter. That was the best and brightest spot of the game was the second quarter. It was a 19-0 run. A 19-0 run for the Hawks. And again, they lost by 21 points. So just put the math together there. The rest of the game, they lost by 40. But a 19-0 run there by Atlanta to get back within 5 over a 3.5-minute span. A lot of that was just the Hawks making shots and Boston going ice cold. In fact, the Celtics scored 5 points in the first 7 minutes of the second quarter. They were really bad. In fact, Jaylen Brown, who is a local product, who I still like as a player, was really bad in this game, and especially during that run, it was a rough time for Jaylen Brown, let's just say that. The Hawks actually got the lead down to as few as 4 points in the second quarter, but Boston did put together a 9-1 run after that, sort of stabilized things, get back to the locker room with a double-digit lead, and that was actually proved to be pretty pivotal in a lot of ways there. The Hawks did play John Collins at center late in the first half, which I thought was justified with the way that Alex Len was playing. He really struggled in the first half. He was better late, but pretty ugly from him in the first half. He wasn't alone by any means. Trae Young was also bad. We'll talk about him later as well. But the Celtics did cool off. They shot 8 of 26 in the second quarter versus 52% from the Hawks. And all told, the Hawks outscored the Celtics by a 37-25 margin in the second quarter, and that was the one bright spot of this game. Still, Atlanta had 14 turnovers that led to 28 points in the first half, and that was kind of a foreshadowing of things to come. The Celtics then came out at halftime with a 13-2 run, and honestly, that was pretty much the game. From there, that put them up by 22 points. That was a quick hook from Trae Young, and justifiably so. Lloyd Pierce was not very happy with him, I don't think. Young committed 2 turnovers in a row at the early portion of the third quarter. He did come back in the game later, but he earned that hook, I will say. Jeremy Lin was just better in this game. The Hawks did have a 7-0 run at one point to get back within 15, but a 4-point play from Jason Tatum kind of did in that little mild push of momentum. The Celtics scored 29 points in the first 7:40 of the third quarter. 29 points in less than 8 minutes. That's rough. And from there, there was a technical foul spree from the Hawks in the third quarter. Kent Bazemore got a T after a 3-point play from Tatum, and then Lloyd Pierce got the first technical foul of his head coaching career, actually about 5 seconds later. So it didn't really matter in terms of the scoreboard. The game was pretty much over at that point in time anyway. But just worth noting that Bazemore and Pierce were definitely frustrated with some of the officiating. It felt like not a huge factor in the game, frankly, which is the disparity between the two teams, but still some outward signs of frustration there from the Hawks. The fourth quarter was pretty much all garbage time. There was a nice dunk from Vince Carter in the fourth quarter. It was really the only highlight of the entire second half. The bench cleared from from Pierce with about 7 minutes to go. They brought in Daniel Hamilton and Justin Anderson for the first time. They also brought in Jalen Adams with about 4.5 minutes to go. And Atlanta did outscore Boston by a 26-21 margin in the fourth quarter. That was pure garbage time, though. There really wasn't too much to write home about there, other than the fact that Alex Len came alive in that fourth quarter. Before that, he was kind of rough. But, you know, aside from that, not too much to discuss from the second half, just the fact that the Hawks were not playing well. That was the biggest thing from this game. Numbers were kind of what they are, but big picture stuff. Atlanta finished the game with a 101 offensive rating that felt worse than that. A 121 defensive rating that actually probably felt worse than that, too. Boston shot 48% from the floor, but 49% from three. That will do you in a lot of the time. Atlanta did make some more free throws in the second half, but a 63% clip from the free throw line is going to hurt you as well. The Celtics had 28 assists against 27 for Atlanta. Was probably the biggest bright spot in this game was the passing from the Hawks, but still, the turnovers were just too much to overcome. In fact, I will credit this to Graham Chapel of Peachtree Hoops, a good friend of the podcast and of mine. He pointed me out to this, but the Hawks actually set a new record's the wrong way to put this, but a league high for points off turnovers. The Celtics had 44 points off 24 turnovers from the Hawks. That is a league high for the season. The previous mark was 39. So Boston scored 44 points directly off of 24 turnovers from the Hawks. And honestly, the turnovers were really actually worse than that. The fourth quarter was kind of all garbage time, and there wasn't too many turnovers in the fourth quarter, but during the competitive portion of the game, that was an embarrassing performance in a lot of ways with ball security. So some of that's Boston making shots off the turnovers, but still 24 is just way too many. That there were bigger, I won't say there were bigger stories. There were other stories in this game, but the turnovers were really, really costly, and a lot of that led to the final margin of this contest. So, you know, big picture again, the Hawks just didn't play well in a lot of aspects. There were a couple of bright spots that we'll hit on. We'll talk about individual players, but big picture, the 19-0 run was the only time when the Hawks played well in this game, really on the whole, and the rest of the game was kind of just dominated by the Celtics in every way. And again, no shame in losing to the Celtics on the road at home. On the road, especially, you know, they were 12.5 point underdogs in this game, so no big surprise there. The final result was not a huge shock, but the way that it actually unfolded was pretty frustrating. I think the Hawks did not play well, obviously. So, before we get to the individual stuff, I do want to take a moment to tell you guys to subscribe to the podcast. I really appreciate everybody that's already done that, but it's been huge. We can continue to grow the pod, so I really appreciate everyone that's plugging in. Please tell your friends about the show. If you have a Hawks fan friend or just an NBA fan friend that wants to check out some stuff about the Hawks that maybe they live locally and something like that, please tell them. Please subscribe via Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, you know, anywhere you like to listen, Overcast, all those places like to listen to podcasts. Please go ahead and do that, and we will do our best to provide more content in the future. So after this short break, we'll come back and talk about the individual play in this game. All right, and we're back here to discuss the individual play in this game. We'll start on the bench because there wasn't too much going on the bench in this game. Vince Carter was a nice bright spot in terms of his shooting, at least 12 points on 8 shots from Vince. Defensively, there were some issues, as there almost always are with him at this point in his career, but I thought Vince gave some decent minutes despite the fact that he was minus 26. That really wasn't all his fault by any means, so I thought Vince played at least reasonably well. DeAndre Bembry had another kind of rough offensive game. I mentioned this on Wednesday. I thought he was pretty rough offensively on Wednesday. It was another game. Not quite as bad here, but it's not the greatest offensive performance in the world from Bembry. Defensively, provided some resistance, I will say, but not a great game from DeAndre. He was minus 29 in 21 minutes, 2-6 from the floor, 1-3 from three. 3 assists, though, which is nice to see. I guess no turnovers, but 2 rebounds, and I thought Bembry was not terrible by any means, but just okay in the spot. Otherwise, on the bench, not a ton of playing time stuff. We'll talk about Jeremy Lin here at last. We'll save him for the end here. But Alex Len, I mentioned before, was better in the second half, to be sure. I thought he was pretty bad in the first half, like almost unplayable, and the Hawks went away from him. They went to Collins at center. They kind of went and did some different stuff with the rotations because of how exposed Lin was in the first half. He did play better in garbage time when there was less attention on him and when the Celtics were playing lineups that were more catering to his skill set. But, you know, Aaron Baines didn't play much, and that was the only guy really on the roster that Lin could be guarding in this game. Al Horford didn't play, by the way, which is worth noting. If not Boston's best player, one of their three best players, to be absolutely sure about that, was not available in this game. So another sort of black mark for the Hawks in losing this game as badly as they did. But back to Lin, you know, he's had better days. I will say, though, it was nice to see him bounce back after that rough first half performance. Tyler Dorsey had 12 minutes of play, six points, an assist, and two rebounds. He had two turnovers. He was okay. Didn't do a ton in the first half. Had a couple nice moments in the second half. He played actually more. Was part of the rotation. He was definitely the 10th man, but definitely was the first wing outside of the Bembry Bazemore Herder trio, which is not really a change, but just I keep noting that because he keeps playing over Justin Anderson, and you know, not a huge surprise, honestly, considering the fact that he's young, etc. But Norris has been playing pretty well, and he was okay in this game. The three guys who didn't really play much were Anderson, Hamilton, and Jalen Adams. Hamilton had hit his first three in a Hawks uniform. He had 3 points, two rebounds, and an assist in 7 minutes. Anderson didn't do much. Did have a nice block shot along the way, but and Adams was pretty quiet as well. So not too much in the way of analysis there, but those guys always got on the floor late in the game. And finally, Jeremy Lin, after a two-game absence, returned here. He was actually plus eight, the only Hawk that was that actually played real minutes in this game, other than the guys who didn't play. Oh, sorry. Todd Dorsey was also plus two, but Lin was plus eight points, four assists, a steal, two turnovers, and two rebounds. He came in early in the second half for Trae Young. That was the right move. Lin was 2 of 6 from the floor, 2 of 4 from three. He looked a little bit shaky, I thought, at times in the first half, but you know, overall, definitely the best point guard for the Hawks in this game. Not a huge surprise to say that out loud because Young was bad, but good to see Lin out there. Only played 17 minutes. There was no reason to really push him in a game that was definitely decided in the fourth quarter. He probably would have played more, but you know, good to have Lin back. He definitely adds another layer to the offense, especially off the bench. And the Hawks are at their best when he is available and playing. To the starters in this game, we'll start with the rough stuff, and we'll start with Trae Young. 9 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 block, 3 turnovers. He was 2 of 11 from the floor, 0 of 6 from 3, 5 of 6 from the free throw line. So after a big step forward on Wednesday, he takes another step back here on this Friday. You know, Lloyd Pierce mentioned that he was struggling. That's not really a huge surprise. He did not play well at all here. Got the quick hook in the third quarter, which I thought was, again, justified. You know, Young, it wasn't like he was just absolutely unplayable in this game. Like turnovers were under control for the most part, only had 3. That's not a terrible thing, but his shots weren't falling. Defensively, he's going to have rough times. He couldn't stay in front of Kyrie. Nobody on the Hawks could, honestly, in this game. He kind of did whatever he wanted to in his 24 minutes. Kyrie had 24 points in 24 minutes to go along with 5 assists and 4 steals. So it wasn't like that was not a Young only problem, but it was a bad game for Trae. There's no question about that. He was minus 26, and that felt right, honestly. So he'll have better nights, to be sure. I'll be interested to see how he responds on Sunday. Quick turnaround here. The Hawks play Sunday in Brooklyn, so. You know, we had the highest of highs on Wednesday from Young. We had the lowest of lows on Friday. It wasn't his worst game of the season, but it was certainly one of his, I would say, one of his bottom five performances. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with Young moving forward. It's sort of had a one of those nights kind of feel for me. I think it's pretty easy to get wrapped up in how bad he was here, especially if you weren't paying attention on Wednesday or if you just saw Wednesday, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, highs and lows, we talked about that since June, since July especially. You just kind of have, this is going to be what happens with Young, especially early in his career. And there was a really high on Wednesday and a really low on Friday. And that's kind of where we'll leave that for this particular podcast. Dwayne Dedmon, 9 points, 9 rebounds, 4 steals, 2 assists in 28 minutes. He was 4 of 11 from the floor, 1 of 5 from three. I thought it was good to see Dedmon aggressive in the first half. He took a couple of shots that actually were kind of bad shots. I've been encouraging him on this podcast and in writing to shoot the ball more often. He took 5 threes. I wish he actually just would kind of just become not only a stencil jump shooter, but it's probably his best asset offensively right now. He took 5 threes. That's okay. A couple of those were just kind of rushed and not in rhythm. But when he's standing still and catching and shooting, he's actually a pretty good weapon there. Dedmon and Collins can kind of get in the way of each other a little bit offensively. We saw that a little bit in this game. But Dedmon was okay. He gave good energy. He was the best center on the floor for Atlanta. That wasn't a huge bar to clear, but I thought he was all right in the spot. Kent Bazemore, 13.7, seven assists, 3 rebounds, and 2 steals, 3 turnovers for Kent. He was minus 22. I didn't think he was great. I thought he was okay. His numbers look okay, actually. I thought he was a little bit worse than that. It was not a game that I would say that Kent played well. But 5 of 11 from the floor, 2 of 4 from 3. He was pretty efficient. Even with him not playing all that well in this spot, he was definitely one of the best 3 or 4 guys from the Hawks in terms of the way that he played. Just nothing terribly exciting on either end of the floor from Bazemore. John Collins actually kind of struggled in this game. 11 points, 14 rebounds, so he kept his double-double streak going. It's probably a good sign. I will say, and I tweeted this during the game, that Collins didn't play well and still had a double-double and still had 14 rebounds and led the game in rebounding, etc. He can still make an impact. It's one of the things I like about Collins, is that he's still able to produce when he's not playing well. But 5 turnovers here, 2 of 8 from the floor, 7 of 12 from the free throw line. Just didn't have too much going here. Was flying around, give good energy. Energy is never really an issue for John, but defensively didn't play particularly well, I didn't think, in this game. Wasn't efficient. It wasn't like he was terrible compared to everybody else, but you would think the guy had a double-double might have played better, but I didn't think Collins was great. But again, it's probably a good sign when he doesn't play well, he still contributes to the team. Last but not least, for sure, is Kevin Huerter. 19 points and 31 minutes for Huerter. That ties his career high, which he actually set on Wednesday. He was 7 of 10 from the floor, 5 of 8 from 3. He actually missed his last 2 shots, both threes. Before that, he was 7 of 8 and 5 of 6. Did have 3 assists and 3 steals to go along with 2 rebounds. A career high with the 5 threes. So, he matched his career high from Wednesday and set a new career high from threes. You know, Huerter played great. Obviously, it's not only the shooting. I think Huerter's shooting does play up well. Pierce was asked about Herter's shooting after the game, just kind of him being more aggressive. I would point to the piece that Jeff Siegel wrote, good friend of the program, wrote earlier on this week on PeaceStreetHoops.com about just the way the Hawks are sort of designing some stuff for Huerter and kind of pushing him a little bit. That's been on full display recently, I will say. Huerter's been more aggressive. You know, there's still opportunity. I think even Pierce mentioned that tonight. There's still times when he actually shoot the ball even more, which is good. I think Huerter is very good, and I continue to like what I see from him. But obviously on a night when he's going to make all the shots, that's very, very helpful. I wish it had come in a better spot from the whole team, so it was kind of more memorable for him, but I thought Huerter played very well. And the turnovers were probably too many. You know, 5 is too many for him with his lack of usage. But other than that, he played very well across the board and should be commended for that. So that'll do it for today's podcast. I know not quite as long as I have been going in the recent past, but when the game is as lopsided as it was, and there really weren't too many subplots either, the Hawks lose this game. They are now 6-22 on the season. And they'll go to Brooklyn in a winnable game. It's a road game. It's a Sunday afternoon tip-off. It's a 3 p.m. Eastern time game. Brooklyn is not unbeatable by any means, so we'll see how the Hawks play in that game. Actually, Brooklyn played tonight and actually won against Washington at home. So, you know, the Hawks will be not favored, obviously, in that game, but that's a chance for the Hawks to get a win if they play well. And after that game, we'll come back with another new podcast to start your week for next week. So please subscribe to the podcast. I really appreciate everybody that's already done that. Again, thank you very much for all of your patronage, but we'll be back on Sunday night into Monday morning, and until then, enjoy the rest of your weekend.